Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee, and it's perhaps safe to say that Obama potentially has a problem brewing, wouldn't you say?
I think that's very safe.
Approval ratings hovering around 50%, an enormous slide from inauguration when it was way, way up there.
I think it's also safe to say that they're glad that there's going to be a break from the August break.
Yes, the president is headed to Camp David. He's going to take a long weekend up there for Labor Day, taking a look at the McChrystal report on Afghanistan, among other things, to do a little Wednesday morning quarterbacking of the president and try to give some historical context to what seems like a precipitous slide of Barack Obama's approval rating, at least at this point. Is Alex Burns back with us, White House reporter for Politico. He joins us from Washington. Alex, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Paul Starr joins us. He's a professor of sociology and public policy at Princeton University. He was a senior health policy advisor in the Clinton White House and is the author of The Social Transformation of American Medicine. Paul Starr, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be with you this morning.
So let's just talk straight off the top, Alex Burns. This slide in approval rating for Barack Obama, is it a function of the events that he's dealing with, or is it something about his message not getting across and the actual messenger delivering it here? Alex?
You know, John, some of this is probably just that Barack Obama had such high expectations and such inflated poll numbers to begin with that his drop has been more precipitous than we've seen from presidents in the past. Expectations kind of coming up against reality. Americans realizing that he can't be sort of the magic man that they were all hoping he could be in January. But certainly, it's easy to see how this could have been different, how those approval numbers might be very much higher than they are right now if a health care bill had been passed, as the White House originally hoped, by the beginning of August. I think Americans like to see a forward momentum from their president and from their White House, and nothing breeds approval like success.
Well, Alex Burns points out there from Politico that the expectations couldn't have been higher at inauguration time. Paul Starr, at this point in his first term, George W. Bush, after the electoral debacle in 2000, where you could probably say the expectations couldn't have been lower for the Bush first term, he had already passed No Child Left Behind, if I'm not mistaken. Are you frustrated by the pace of progress on health care, looking back at your experience in the Clinton administration versus what's going on with Obama right now?
Well, frustrated, yes, but not really surprised. Healthcare has never been easy to pass. Many presidents have been stymied on this issue. It's really completely in line with the entire history that there should be an intense struggle over healthcare reform. What's different, I think, this year is that in the past, there was mainly interest group opposition. This year, the interest groups are really not putting themselves all out to stop healthcare reform. It's entirely a partisan thing. There are really no constructive Republican proposals on the table. They don't really have an alternative. They have simply set out to stop whatever it is that Obama is proposing.
Alex Burns, has that worked for the GOP? And what is the president likely to do to maybe counter in the days ahead?
Well, I guess what we'll see going forward for the Republican Party is whether they've made the right bet, similar to the bet that they made on the stimulus, that Americans fundamentally aren't comfortable with the president's agenda. If, let's just say hypothetically, if a month and a half from now, a health care bill passes with little or more likely no Republican support, and it turns out to be popular, the GOP will pay a very heavy price for it. At the time, they may not realize that. But similar to what we saw with the stimulus, where the Republican Party really cheered as the House Republican caucus voted unanimously against the stimulus, only three Republican senators supported it in the Senate. And as it took a little while for the stimulus to really kick in, Republicans thought they were going to get a lot of mileage out of it. At this point, when you start to see economic numbers ticking up, I think Republicans have to be a little more concerned. They could suffer a similar fate on health care.
Well, let's talk about those economic numbers. I mean, you would tend to think that positive economic news would be helpful to the president, yet it doesn't seem to have cut through all of the sort of nasty debating about health care. And really, I think in some sense you could say, and here's an example, that there's been a certain amount of ambivalence and lack of clarity on even the Afghanistan war. There was a surge in troops earlier in this year, but now General McChrystal, the commander in Afghanistan, has a very critical report on the strategy. And here's Defense Secretary Robert Gates talking about basically to expect more casualties.
The fact that we're going into areas where the Taliban have basically been unchallenged for a number of years. means that our casualties are going to be higher.
Paul Starr, does Barack Obama potentially have an Afghanistan problem here?
I think a lot of liberals, as well as people on the right, are uneasy about what is happening in Afghanistan, and that we may be drawn into to the mountains of Afghanistan the way we were drawn into the jungles of Vietnam. But I want to come back to the point that you made about the economy and the economic numbers picking up. Because when you look at the public opinion poll numbers, really what is driving the decline in Obama's approval is disapproval on the economy. And I think that's because people haven't seen improvements firsthand in their own lives. Wall Street can see there's a change. The economists can see things are picking up. But most people haven't seen the effects yet themselves. And I think when those effects begin to be felt, that may have a positive effect on his approval numbers.
Well, Alex Burns famously, George W. Bush at the beginning of his second term, after a decisive electoral victory, said that he had political capital and he was going to spend it. By this point in his second term, Katrina had happened and the Bush administration was basically in the tank. Is there a such thing as political capital, and do presidents have the discretion to spend it? And if so, what did Obama get for his political capital, Alex?
Well, this administration clearly believes that there is such a thing as political capital, or at the very least they believe that there are times when a president's cachet is much stronger than at other times. They've made the bet that this president will never be as popular or as powerful or as able to accomplish his legislative agenda as he is in his first year. And so he's trying to get everything through. You know, the analogy to this president's push for health care from the Bush administration maybe would be his push to reform Social Security. But at the time, there was nothing resembling the kind of popular support for Social Security reform that there is, at least in some polls, for health care reform.
Maybe Barack Obama made his mistake not in bringing up health care, but in predicting that he'd have something passed so quickly.
Well, Paul Starr, you mentioned the Johnson administration a moment ago. What was Johnson's key to success? He, of course, had enormous clout in the Senate in the beginning of his presidency. But what was Johnson able to do to get so many complicated bills passed in the mid-60s?
Of course, he came in with an enormous landslide, huge margins in both the House and the Senate, his own personal mastery of the Senate, as you mentioned. In the case of Medicare, that legislation had already been teed up and was ready to go. It was the first item of business of the Congress in 1965. So a lot of the work had already been done. There was complete consensus about passing Medicare among Democrats, and actually, by the way, at that time, a lot of Republicans joined in. So that was a very unusual moment. It's a pretty tough standard to match.
Yeah. Well, Alex Burns, do you look for Barack Obama to embrace the public option or to dance around it as he's done in the past as we move forward on health care?
And what Politico is hearing is that he is not going to openly embrace the public option any more than he already has. You know, the president has consistently said that there has to be choice through competition, and he thinks that one good way to do that is the public option, and that's the most we're likely to hear from him. He's not going to come out and say, send me a public option or I'm not signing the bill.
So that means repetition is the strategic order of the day. Just repeat the message till it gets through. Is that going to work, Alex?
Well, it may not be exact repetition of what we've already heard. The president has, or the White House has indicated that the president is going to lay down in more specific terms what he wants in health care reform. So far, when he's gone out to these town halls, made these speeches, he's mostly been talking on the level of principles. Health care reform must accomplish cost containment, for example. I think what we can expect to hear from him going forward is a little bit more detail in terms of how he wants to do cost containment and how he wants to ensure choice through competition.
And we've talked about the Republicans may be losing on their opposition, but there's some word from the White House that they may take issue with Democrats who are not willing to pass what they can right now and block legislation unless it's complete.
You've certainly heard some rumbling on the left from folks who don't want to support a bill without the public option. The White House has expressed a lot of frustration with that, saying we don't understand how the public option became the sort of brass ring of the health care debate when we have much broader goals than that, is sort of their argument.
Alex Burns, White House reporter for Politico. Thanks so much. Paul Starr, you want to leave us with a final thought?
there is going to be a compromise, unfortunately, I don't think Republicans are going to join in that compromise. I think it's going to be a compromise between conservative Democrats and liberals in the White House.
All right, well, we'll see if we can scare up some rumbles from the left when Russ Feingold joins us a little later on in the hour. Paul Starr is professor of sociology and public policy at Princeton University. He's the author of The Social Transformation of American Medicine. Paul, thanks so much.